We have heard from His Holiness Bhaktirasamrita Maharaj Shukadev Maharaj these profound realizations of appreciating Vaishnava compassion. Both of them referred to Narada Muni. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he taught, if we want to understand the very essence of the scriptures, it is possible through studying the lives of the great souls. Mahajano yena katha sapanda. To follow the footsteps of Mahajans. Narada Muni is such a Mahajan. We heard from Maharaj how he blessed Nala Kuvera and Manigriva through an apparent curse. Can you imagine, to a materialistic mind, what a curse that is? To curse someone to die is not so bad. Because in those days, everyone knew that the soul is eternal. Manigriva and Nala Kuvera are the sons of Kuvera, who's a very powerful devotee, demigod. So the demigods, they may have their attachments, but they know that the soul is eternal. So if you curse someone to die, then, you know, you're going to take another birth. But to curse someone who's beautiful and who is addicted to have beautiful woman, all sort, not earthly women, heavenly women, who want to enjoy with you because you're so beautiful and you're so intelligent and you're so wealthy, to be cursed to become a tree for thousands of years. That's worse than death. Yes? Tree. Nobody's attracted to trees. Not even other trees are really attracted to trees. To stand in one place for a long period of time, it was really a painful curse. But as Maharaj was telling, a Vaishnav, his only concern is the well-being of others. Paradukaduki. It's not that Narada Muni was offended himself because he was walking by and these people were naked in a lake of water. We heard some beautiful glorifications of Srila Prabhupada's compassion from Shukadev Maharaj. Prabhupada was brought to the Morning Star Ranch where people actually, humans, were living in trees naked. It's association. And Prabhupada just walked by him like something extraordinary. Naked hippies. And Prabhupada said, if people are naked, if they enjoy that, they may take their next birth as trees. And obviously Prabhupada was connecting it to this Leela that Maharaj was telling us of Nala Kuvera and Manigrima. But he wasn't offended. He didn't curse them to be trees. He just led them in kirtan. So Prabhupada is a disciplic parampara representative of Narada Muni. So obviously Narada Muni wasn't offended by them. He felt sorry for them. He wanted to help them. They were intoxicated, not just by liquor, but they were intoxicated by false pride. Maharaj quoted Kunti Devi, Tvam Akinjana Gocharam. As long as one is intoxicated by the pride of having high birth, high wealth, high knowledge, and beauty, then one cannot cry out for Krishna, one cannot take shelter. But one who has nothing, akinchana gochana, can actually cry out for Krishna with feeling. So Narada Muni, just his blessing, apparent curse, was to take away everything that they were proud of, so that they could, in course of hundreds and hundreds of years in that situation, when Krishna would actually live in their courtyard, they could appreciate Krishna. They could focus on Krishna. They weren't being distracted. There's not much to be distracted on. It's a tree. And they're standing next to each other. Two brothers. Haribol. And they had full consciousness. So yes, Narada Muni's apparent curse was a blessing. But then we heard from Shukadev Maharaj how Narada Muni became Narada Muni. You see, you're not really qualified to give that. You're not qualified to give those types of blessings unless you're actually willing to receive those blessings. I remember long ago, one of my godbrothers, he preached to me so strong, I'm not going to go into details, because I didn't want to take sannyas. I guess I'm going into the details. I was totally against becoming a sannyasi. I didn't want to get married. I just wanted to be a brahmachari because brahmachari life is so nice. Married life, I just felt too unqualified for that. That was just too of a high position for a little guy like me. Just let me be a brahmachari. And sannyas, people start calling you Maharaj. What kind of Maharaj, great king? I just want to be a das, 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 anu das. Just let me mind my own business and milk some cows and do some preaching and go to some colleges and meet people and bring them to the path of bhakti as an instrument of Prabhupada's mercy. That's all I want to do. What is this, Maharaj? And they were pushing and pushing the whole community, and this one person who was my elder, senior godbrother, he was a grihastha, and he was saying, if you don't take sannyas, you are a fallen soul and this and that, because you are disobeying the instruction and the will of the community and our leader. And he went on and on and on. I said to him, Well, why don't you take Senor? He said, because I'm not ordered to do so, you are. I couldn't defeat that. Because he wasn't ordered to do it, and I was. Oh, but I learned a good lesson from that. Ultimately, I did, and I'm here with all of you. So it was it was like a curse to me. But it became a blessing, because otherwise I may never have met any of you. And I wouldn't have the opportunity to serve you. But another part of that lesson was, a few years later, this person had some marriage conflict, and he was ordered to take sannyas. Do you like this story so far? There's a lesson to it. And he was mortified. He was devastated. And he came to me and asked what he should do. I was beginning to learn the dynamics of how material energy and how Krishna's mercy works together. And I said to him, if you... If we expect something to do, somebody to do what we tell them to do, then it's a matter of time till we are going to have to do the same thing. You preach to me in a certain way, and now you're expected to do what you wanted me to do. It's a reality. Narada Muni, he cursed people out of compassion. But if we look into his background and foreground, he was one of the greatest examples of how he transformed curses upon himself into blessings. Therefore, he was really qualified to curse. Or to bless in that way. Anyways, this person asked me what he should do, because he was really, really in trouble now. And I told him, this is a vicious cycle going on here. You told me what I should do, and now it's coming back on you, so I'm not going to tell you what to do. But if we just accept whatever comes as the Lord's mercy, we will definitely benefit. Anyways, that person left our society. And as of now, 30 years and more later, he's not come back because it was just too much. We are responsible for what we expect of others. We are responsible to live by what we teach. Yes, Narada Muni cursed Nala Kuvera and Manigriva. We heard when he was just a little boy, the son of a maidservant, he's living in the jungle, associated with great Bhaktivedantas, sadhus. For 4 months during Chaturmasya, he was listening to them speaking. And as a little boy, he was only about 4 or 5, he couldn't really understand what they were saying so much, but because he served them and pleased them and took their prasad with their blessings, he was blessed by them because of the enthusiasm he had to please them through his service. So even a little boy that age, he was able to assimilate and understand the very essence of everything they spoke.
Shushushroshadadanasya vasudeva kataruchi syan mahatsevaya viprapunjatirutana sevanat.
The Srimad Bhagavatam tells, Srinvatam sukata krishna punja shravana kirtan. By developing a taste for hearing of the Lord within is so pleased, he cleanses our heart of the anarthas and reveals himself. But how do we develop that taste? By rendering service to great souls with humility and sincerity. That was his qualification. His mother was a maidservant, and he served with sincerity to please them. He developed through the process love for them and trust in them. And whatever they spoke, it deeply penetrated his heart. And soon after that, his mother was bit by a serpent and died. He had no father, no brothers and sisters, no uncles and aunties. There was no Ladies Northcote Hindus orphanage to bring him in and give him prasad and take care of him. He was alone with nothing and no one. And he took it as a blessing. This would be considered a great curse of providence on a 5-year-old child, to have nothing and no one in a jungle. But by the association and the blessings of these great souls, because he was blessed by sadhus, he was able to see the most painful, impossible curse to be a blessing of God. Now I have nothing else except to find Krishna. And that's what he did. Yasya aham anugrihnami harishe tadhanam shanai. Shukadev Maharaj quoted this. He had nothing. But because he took it in such a positive spirit and searched and searched and searched and went deeper and deeper and deeper, in his next life he became Narada Muni, son of Brahma. He was given the Veena by Krishna. Such a benediction, traveling around. And he just wanted to do the will of the Lord. Narada Muni had no animosity, no anger for anyone. He was just doing what's good for everyone. He saw the potential. In little Prahlad, he preached to him in the womb of the mother. And he didn't preach to Prahlad to be a brahmachari, because Prahlad was meant ultimately to get married and be a king. He was a disciple of Narada Muni. And little Dhruva, Narada Muni met him in the forest and transformed the curse of Dhruva into a blessing. And Dhruva also went back and got married and became a king. So Narada Muni knew exactly what was good for everybody. He wasn't one of these like fanatical brahmacharis that everyone has to be a brahmachari. Many of his greatest disciples were kings with wives and children, but they were akinchana gotra. Because by Narada's blessing, they understood nothing is mine.
Akinshana gotram doesn't mean you don't have anything physically. It means you do not have any attachments to the misconception that this is mine. Because there are people who may be avadutas or swamis who have no possessions, no bank account, no property, no family, but they may be attached to their knowledge, or they may be attached to their renunciation. The renunciation of everything could make them feel that I'm better than somebody who's not so renounced. That means they're thinking in terms of I and mine. Akinchana gotra means we don't claim anything to be our own. Our intelligence, our knowledge, our fame, our popularity, our wealth, our position, this body, this anything. It all belongs to Krishna. Sarva Loka Maheshwaram. Everything is Krishna's property. I'm just a servant, an instrument. That is Akinchana gotram. No attachment. We often quote Srila Prabhupada when a devotee, a relatively new devotee, in those days, even the senior-most devotees of ISKCON back in the 60s and 70s was a relatively new devotee. Devotee came to Prabhupada and said, Prabhupada, I want to renounce everything. The person was really thinking that Prabhupada would be pleased with him. And Prabhupada was pleased with him. And gave him an answer. You have nothing to renounce. Everything belongs to Krishna. What do you have to renounce? The only thing you have to renounce is the egoistic misconception that you have something to renounce. Hare Krishna. Akinchana gotram. Prahlad, Dhruva was Akinchana gotram in the jungle, and he was also Akinchana gotram when he was the king of the world by the grace of Narada Muni. So as he was traveling around to the sons of Daksha, he understood what was good for them, and he preached to them Bhagavad Dharma, and they became brahmacharis. And Daksha was not happy. So we created some more sons and sent them to do tapasya and said, don't follow what your other sons did. I mean, your other brothers. And then Narada Muni approached them and tell them, your other brothers are really happy. In so many words. So they became brahmacharis. And Daksha was wild with anger. Now Daksha is not just some, you know, father living in Malad or something like that. He's a heavenly, powerful person. We read in Srimad Bhagavatam that Daksha, he's living in heavenly planets, and he's among the demigods. He's one of the most highly respected people in the universe. His physical beauty, his effulgence is supernatural. His intellect, his power, he's a Prajapati. That means he's, on behalf of Brahma, he's procreating the population of the universe, not just the world, the earth, the universe. Unbelievable personality. His daughters are marrying great rishis and sages who live practically forever. And when he comes to these meetings, it described when he walked into this one assembly,
all the rishis, sages, the greatest of the Brahmins, and even the demigods stood up with awe and reverence to receive him. Only Shiva didn't, because he was absorbed in meditation. He didn't even know Daksha came. And Brahma didn't, because he's Daksha's father and ultimately his guru. But every other demigod, rishi and sage, stood up to receive him. Can you imagine what kind of a powerful person he was? Daksha was furious on Narada Muni. And he's blaspheming Narada Muni with vicious words. You are a pretender, you are a hypocrite, you are a cheater, you are misguiding society. And then he cursed him that you will not be able to ever stay in one place. Now that's an intense curse, because Narada Muni lives for a long time and he's never allowed to stay in one place. He's got to always be moving and moving and moving and moving and moving and moving. Of course, he doesn't have to take airplanes, which is really taxing on the health. He chants a mantra and he goes somewhere else. But he was cursed. And how did Narada Muni take that curse? As a blessing. He didn't react to Daksha, because Daksha said that curse not with compassion, but with anger and a type of hatred. He wanted to make Narada Muni suffer. That was his intention, to make him suffer for what he did. He was not trying to uplift Narada like Narada did to Nala Kuvera and Manigriva. He was trying to get revenge on him. You made me suffer like this, now you suffer even worse. And for Daksha, because we see through the eyes of our own attachments in life, for somebody who's really attached to their home and their security and their stability like Daksha, that's a really bad curse that you can't stay anywhere. But Narada Muni, even though it was spoken with so much vengeance, he accepted it as a blessing. Because Narada Muni's motive in life is not to enjoy. His motive in life is to serve. So in whatever situation, the question is, how can I serve? Not how can I be comfortable and enjoy. So to Narada Muni, this curse is a blessing. Now I have an excuse where I don't have to ever stay anywhere for any length of time. I could just keep moving and chanting and spreading the glories of Krishna's qualities and his pastimes and his holy names. Narada Muni was fully qualified and realized to give curses that were blessings, because he was fully qualified and willing to accept curses as blessings. This is a great Vaishnava. To appreciate a Vaishnava's compassion. Bancha kalpa tarubhyascha. Devotees are compared to trees. This is a good subject. They're compared to desire trees, because they can fill the innermost desires of the soul.
And to the degree we actually understand what Vaishnava's motivations are, we can appreciate. Narada Muni was able to appreciate because of the blessings he received from the Bhaktivedantas in his previous life. And similarly, in the association of devotees, by studying Srila Prabhupada's books, by hearing his lectures, by hearing the lectures of saints like what we have here today, these two at least, we actually learn how to understand what is the compassion of a Vaishnava. Sukadeva Maharaj was talking about Srila Prabhupada's blessings, that people are gathered around asking, give me blessings, giving blessings, giving blessings. And Prabhupada said, I bless you, you become like these brahmacharis and sannyasis. One of my godbrothers, who was Prabhupada's personal servant for some time, told me that after a lecture Prabhupada gave, this one Indian man was following him everywhere, saying, please give me blessing, please give me blessing. And Prabhupada just kept walking, because he could understand the intent of the person. He was very materialistically yearning for a blessing that would make him, you know, enjoy better. So Prabhupada just walked, and the person kept following him, following, following. Prabhupada went to his room, and the person went right to the door and practically wouldn't allow Prabhupada to close the door. He said, Swamiji, give me blessings, please give me blessings. And Prabhupada looked at him, not with anger, but with compassion, and said, I bless you that your material life will be finished. And the person actually fell on the floor. And Prabhupada then was able to close it. Close the door. So he had something to think about. But Prabhupada, you know, obviously, it's not that literally, necessarily, that person lost everything. But he definitely had the opportunity to lose that illusion and really think about, you know, what is life? You see, when you know you're going to lose everything, you start becoming more spiritual. What is really important? Unless that intoxication of attachment and expectations is gone, we can't really look for what is beyond the truth, Krishna, the absolute truth. So we can appreciate the compassion of Vaishnavas when we actually learn from Vaishnavas. Otherwise, Vaishnavera Kriya Mudra Vigyena Pujai. Vaishnavas are not always so easy to understand. But if in the association of devotees, we actually learn what is the compassion of a Vaishnava, how they really are our well-wishers. Srila Prabhupada would sometimes cry, literally, when he would think of Jesus Christ willing to be crucified just to show love to others, compassion. Srila Prabhupada would be very emotional when he would talk about Haridas Thakur being willing to be beaten through 22 marketplaces, willingly, only because he wanted to show compassion to others. and when he would tell us about Vasudev Dutt, who was willing to perpetually suffer hellish conditions to take everyone in the universe's karma on his own head so that they could be happy with Krishna. This was his compassion. In Prabhupada's emotions, when he would talk about little Prahlad offering a prayer to Narasingadev, if you want to give me any blessing, benediction, give my father liberation. And as far as me, let me remain in this world as long as people are acting like fools and rascals in forgetfulness of you. This is the compassion of great souls. Their compassion for the soul of others, to liberate the soul from the misconception of the body and bring the soul to that ultimate reunion with Krishna, with the Lord. That is the compassion of devotees. And devotees see that the body and the mind of others is a means by which we could reach the souls. So devotees show compassion to the body and to the mind of others with the intent of utilizing, developing the medium by which we can actually reach that person's soul and bring it to Krishna. Mundane philanthropy is when our compassion ends with the body or mind. Spiritual is through the body and through the mind, because obviously when we're speaking to someone, we're going through their ears. Yes? Ears is a material thing, but transcendental vibration going through the ear is liberating their soul. And prasad, we're tasting it with our tongue, yes? Which is a mundane thing. And we're chewing it with our teeth. And we're swallowing it with our throats. And then it's going into our stomachs. And it's getting churned and digested by, this is sacred prasad. But when you give somebody prasad, we don't always think about what's going to happen to it. But that prasad is going in their stomach, and then acids are just breaking it down into all kinds of, you know, molecular particles and everything. And then some of it goes into the blood and other parts of it. It comes out. I don't have to go into detail. But it's not the physical food, it's the mercy that's within it, the prasad. But that prasad, you know, the physical body is a medium by which we get that prasad to liberate the soul. The Mahaprasad incense we're smelling with our nose. And when we come before the Didi, the ultimate Mahaprasad of the Darshan of Radha Gopinath, our eyes are seeing. And through these eyes, it's coming through into our brain. Because the brain is facilitating the eyes to actually be able to see, and the nervous system and its resident. And then with our mind, we're meditating on the deities. We're meditating on the Srimad Bhagavatam. Intelligence is a material element. But we're studying Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, and taking that material element and using it as a medium. So in giving Krishna consciousness to others, our aim is one, to liberate the soul. Because we know we can help a person's body and we can help a person's mind a little, and that's nice, it's sattva guna. But they're going to die. It may happen today and it may happen tomorrow, but it's going to happen. So what is the depth of that compassion? people will not be happy with health. Health is a facility, it's a medium by which it could be used for something wonderful. Certainly, there will be less temporary suffering if there's good health, and we want to see people like that. But that's not the aim. Because the health's going to fall away in just a matter of time. The soul is looking for one thing and one thing alone, Krishna. To reconnect with Krishna. Religion comes from the Latin word religio, which means to reconnect with Krishna, God. Yoga, to reunite with Krishna, with God. That's compassion, to create that, to liberate the soul from the confines of ignorance and illusion and reconnect that soul to the fountainhead, the source of all pleasure. Shri Ram, the reservoir of all pleasure. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Yagyai Sankirtana Priya Yajantihi Shumedasha. Kalera dosani de rajan astiheka mahankuna kirtana deva krishnasya mukta sangha param prajet. This age of Kali is an ocean of faults. People are so addicted to superficial, useless attachments. So addicted that they're willing to fight over trifling things. And hate each other over trifling things. And create immense, enormous, horrible karma over superficial attachments that mean nothing. But in this age of Kali, there's one benediction. Krishna has appeared in his name. And by taking shelter of the holy names, one can achieve the perfection of liberation. Krishna prema, ecstatic love, the need of every soul, the fundamental potential that is within all of us. To love in ecstasy and feel the supreme unlimited ecstasy of Krishna's love. That is all through the chanting of Krishna's names. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he taught the highest compassion that a Vaishnava could give is to induce people to actually take shelter of God's names. And to live in such a way that we could chant the holy name and please Krishna. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur explained, without developing the character of a Vaishnava, humility, gratitude, a service attitude, forgiveness, self-control, then you could chant the holy names of the Lord. It may take hundreds of births. But if you develop, if you really try to develop the proper attitude of a Vaishnava, in this life you can attain that prema bhakti. The greatest compassion. But we require the blessings of the devotees to be able to appreciate a Vaishnava's compassion. And as Bhakti Rasamrita Maharaj was saying, through the grace of the devotees, we can appreciate not only a Vaishnava's compassion, but Krishna's compassion, which is actually coming 24 hours a day. If we just recognize it, if we tune into it, and we reciprocate accordingly. Gratitude is crucial. Srila Prabhupada explained Agyata Sukriti. The beginning of one's spiritual life is when anyone in the world appreciates any activity of a devotee or devotional service. That appreciation is an expression of love, whether we know it or not. And that's when our devotional life begins. So to the degree we appreciate the compassion of Vaishnavas, the Vaishnavas who are living with us today, the Vaishnavas who have, over the ages, given us so much. Appreciation for the sacrifices Prabhupada gave us. Appreciation for the teachings of how to appreciate. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's life, and Gaur Kishore Das Babaji's life, and Bhakti Vinod Thakur's life, and the six Goswamis, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Nityananda Prabhu, Parama Karuna Pahundu Ijana. They are supremely compassionate. And ultimately, Radhan Krishna, who appears as Lord Chaitanya. To the extent we can appreciate we can access, we could benefit in every situation in life. But the tendency in Kali Yuga is, instead of appreciating the intent of devotees to induce people to be liberated, we find fault, or we ignore, and then we just don't benefit. Appreciation of the holy qualities of Vaishnavism and compassion is very much what makes Vaishnav community beautiful and satisfying to the heart and soul. We were speaking in class this morning. Krishna, he was appreciating everyone's sincerity of love in Dwarka, despite their incredible differences. And how Srila Prabhupada was also. So his appreciation of whatever little sincerity anybody had fanned the spark of that sincerity and made it grow into a burning fire of enthusiasm for devotional service and the chanting of the holy name. So to rise above the tendencies of arrogance and envy and all of these other distractions, anarthas within us, actually enables us to appreciate the compassion of the Vaishnavas. And at the same time, by learning how to appreciate the compassion of Vaishnavas, that empowers us to overcome all obstacles of envy and lust and anger and greed and illusion. So I'm very grateful, Bhakti Rasamrita Maharaj and Shukadev Maharaj, for your beautiful words. Thank you very much. Gauranga Prabhu, I hope
I hope you appreciate our humble endeavors. Thank you. So we will now appreciate Srila Prabhupada's mercy by celebrating his foremost instruction to come together and chant the holy names of the Lord.